Hello, Neville. Thank you for coming to my show. I think I know you by your main newsletter, maybe not main, the newsletter where you are giving advice to people, but I think you have more than one project, right?
I have two newsletters, actually. So one is called Never Normal, same name as the podcast. And that's basically unfocused, just kind of like whatever I'm thinking and doing. And the common theme is around like escaping the what I call default life plan of like, you know, kind of a traditional 9-to-5 job and just all that goes along with that. And that's just something I like to write and think about. So that's like kind of my personal one. And then I've got a newsletter called Quality Questions that I launched at the beginning of this year. And that basically the idea is we take sort of like the lessons or even sometimes they're posed as questions in something like self-improvement or kind of personal development books, or there could be even like a YouTube video or a TED talk. Typically there's like some kind of lesson that's embedded in that type of content. And we take those and just kind of like break them down into bite-sized individual questions and then send them once a week as emails.
So do you do this, two newsletters and your podcast as your main work? Or is there something else and this is just a side project?
No, not at all. Not at all. So my main job is running like a digital, kind of like a mini agency, doing like online marketing and strategy. And that's something I've been doing since 2005. I started the company and I did that as like a side job for a while. And then I left my last like corporate office job in 2007. So I've been running that. The company's called Nambora and I've been running that since, 16 years now. That's the only thing that I do that's really like revenue generating. My podcast and Never Normal emails are really just around kind of like building an audience and connecting with other people who have similar interests or want to pursue a crazy lifestyle like this. And then Quality Questions really just came out of, it's like the ultimate scratch your own itch, right? So many of the, like as an online entrepreneur, so many of the businesses I've started or even ideas that I've had have been, hey, wouldn't it be cool if someone did such and such, or like this, you know, fake example, like, you know, Bitcoin is really popular right now and so are like mobile apps. So we should make some mobile app for Bitcoin, you know, just taking like things that are trending and trying to like ride that wave. I think you can occasionally maybe get lucky doing that as an entrepreneur, but I think it's very difficult and you're a lot more likely to give up because you don't really have any like intrinsic belief or passion around the idea. And so Quality Questions is sort of like the first time where I started a business that wasn't intended as a business. So basically I was reading all of these books and watching all of these TED Talks and YouTube videos and consuming and going to workshops and just kind of like consuming a ton of this content. And I enjoy doing that. Like there's some entertainment value in it. I also am pretty good about taking notes and highlighting things that I read. But what I realized is that like, unless you actually apply the lessons to your life, like you miss out on most of the benefits. So if you go read, say, Ryan Holiday or Tim Ferriss and they're like, you know, Tim Ferriss has this exercise that he calls fear setting. It's a popular one. It's been shared online a bunch of times. And it's like, if you just read the book about like doing this fear setting exercise and you never actually do the exercise, you don't get the benefit of it. And so that's one like I'd actually done, but there are tons more like that where I just sort of like read the book and I'm like, yep, that I should do that sometime. But it's like 11:30 PM and I'm in bed and like reading this as I'm going to sleep. So I'm not actually like doing the exercise. So I'm just kind of like bookmarking these things and saving them for later and then never going back and doing them. And I mentioned this to a friend of mine and he's like the exact same way. He's like, yeah, I read all this personal development stuff. I'm super into it. He's also like really studious about like taking notes and he does a lot of personal development work himself. But still, there's like plenty of this stuff that slips through the cracks where you're like, you know, I think that would be useful. Or maybe you even do it once. Like you write down the exercise and you do it the one time, But if it's something like goal setting or even the fear setting example, it's probably worthwhile like coming back to that again and again as your goals change, as you change, whatever. And so I just had this idea of like, wouldn't it be nice if there was like a really easy way to just get these like delivered to me from time to time? Like if I just have this giant list of like questions or thought exercises that I should be doing, it would be cool if something would just like surface one of those for me every day, right? So it's like, I just block off 15 minutes in the morning and I just like do one of those questions. And so I had this conversation with my friend Justin, and we thought about it, and hey, one of those questions for entrepreneurs, again, from Tim Ferriss, is what would this look like if it were easy? Like, what's the simplest thing you could do, right? Because we could go create some app and like hire coaches and make some super complicated thing out of this. But we said, oh, the easiest thing we could do is just like make an email newsletter. Everybody knows what that is. There's plenty of platforms to start one online. We all get emails. We all have email inboxes. It doesn't require any new behavior. And what if we just sent one of these questions? We each already had our own like big lists of them. What if we just sent one of these questions every day to initially ourselves via email? That was the idea. And then it's like, well, if we're going to go through the trouble of doing that, why not invite some of our friends and other people to sign up for it? And it just sort of spiraled from there, and a few thousand people signed up. And then after we'd done that, we started kind of getting into conversations with the people who were on the email list. And two kind of like common themes emerged. One was that getting a question every day was overwhelming. It's just too much. We got feedback from people, and the first change was like, okay, we'd love to have this less often. Like, it's just too much. So we switched from daily to weekly. And the second thing that we heard from a lot of people was, where am I supposed to put the answers? Like, in my mind, it was simple. Like, I've read these books. I kind of like, I value the exercises. And all I really wanted was just like a prompt to do it. But in talking to other people, they're like, well, yeah, like, okay, so am I supposed to reply to this email now? Like, am I supposed to send you the answer? And so initially we hadn't thought about that, but the more we thought about it and the more we talked to people, the idea of a community emerged from there. That like, wouldn't it be great if you had a place to share these answers with others to get feedback from people? Like the current series that we're doing right now is on gratitude. And so in the community, we're each sharing like one thing that we're grateful for, one or more things, but at least one thing that we're grateful for every day. And like, that's something that I already did, but now I look forward to just like taking that every day and sharing it with others and reading what other people are grateful for. And of course, it like one of our community members shared recently that she's grateful for Heath Ledger's performance as the Joker in Batman. And it's like very interesting, right? And it's funny because like I would never think to be grateful for that. And not just Heath Ledger and not just that movie, but like even the idea of like the fact that this artist created this piece of art and I can now enjoy that. Like that's something that, yeah, that makes, I mean, that's like our entire idea of culture is sort of built on this premise of like appreciating things like that. And yet like when I sit down in the morning and I do my little gratitude exercise, I think about my family, I think about health, I think about food, I think about quotidian things like running water or having a roof over my head. I never stop to think like the fact that this art has been created, I should just like, you know, be grateful for that in that moment and appreciate it. So
this sounds very interesting because for a lot of entrepreneurs, when they think about, okay, I will start a startup, they're mainly going after, yeah, I will build an MVP, which will contain maybe free features or something like that. And in reality, MVP can be much, much smaller. And in this case, in your case, the true MVP is the newsletter and the community that you're building, which is very modern community-led approach.
That's what we're going after now. I mean, to be completely honest, like I don't want anyone to listen to this and think I'm too smart, because this is 20 years, I would say, into the journey for me. I mean, I started building websites in the 90s, and most of those, practically all of those, as I was saying, were of the variety of like, hey, I think this thing is gonna trend soon, or this is like the next hot thing. Let me like try to, you know, jump and get ahead of that curve. And it's basically, trying to sort of time the market, but also thinking that you're a little bit smarter than the market in that, like, oh yeah, I know what people want before they figure it out. So let me go build it quickly and then try to sell it to them. And again, that can work, but this is like the, you know, after years of sort of banging my head against a wall with some successes, but, you know, doing a lot of that and really, you know, sitting in the proverbial like dungeon, just kind of like coding away, trying to build something, hoping that when you're done with it, someone will want to use it. Like that was the old approach. And I think that was the only option for a long time. But I also think you'd be a fool to build things like that today because there's no need to. And, you know, for so many people who are kind of like engineering minded, like programmers, it's more comfortable to like sit down and start writing code and to just try to make something and like think, okay, I think I know what people want, or I'm not sure, but like, let me just make it. It's harder to say, well, let me put something out into the world that has some sense of like vulnerability to it and let people kind of beat it up. But in doing that, I'm going to learn what they want. And like the feature that I thought was going to be important turns out not to be important. And the thing is that whether you start building an audience on day one or you spend 5 years building this product and then release it, you're still going to need to find customers for it and build an audience and users and all of that. So it's like you might as well do that from the beginning. So maybe one day we will make that app or build that other service or whatever. But like by putting quality questions out into the world in some simple format in the beginning, yeah, we opened ourselves up to being able to hear back from people and turn it into something that's useful for them rather than us just saying, well, like, this is what we think is the best version possible. Here it is. Take it or leave it.
I think this small conversation highlighted the way you are managing your projects. And from here, I want to kind of talk about your second project. You have a newsletter and a podcast for it. So my question is, why did you decide to start a podcast for that specifically?
I almost think it's more interesting to ask, why did I wait so long to start a podcast? Because I've listened to podcasts for years. I enjoy them. Anyone who knows me like well personally will tell you I talk nonstop. Like I talk a lot. It's been like a joke since I was a kid. I enjoy conversations. I mean, I routinely have, you know, multi-hour phone conversations with friends. I have friends who I've never even met in person in real life. We just know each other as, you know, two people on the other end of a phone call. And that format for me is very comfortable. It's something that I just like enjoy doing. Having conversations with people about ideas, about, you know, where's the future going, conversations like this one. And starting a podcast, like because I listen to them, it's not some like format that I was unfamiliar with or something. I probably spend, I'm afraid to admit, how many hours a week listening to podcasts. And so why didn't I start one sooner? And I think for me, it was like, I had this kind of like idea that it has to be a business. That like, if I start something that could be a business, I have to treat it like a business. And then I have to look at the return on investment. And it's like, well, how many hours am I going to spend recording it? And what is it going to be around? And like, oh, I could do something about entrepreneurship or maybe about being a digital nomad. Like these are different topics that I would love to talk about. And I feel qualified to talk about. And then I go and look at like the iTunes directory or something. And I'll see that there's, you know, 500 other shows out there, a million reasons not to do it. And you can easily talk yourself out of anything like that. And again, in my mind, I'm calculating like, well, how much time am I going to spend on this? What are the chances that anyone's even going to, you know, listen to it and it's going to grow and all of that? And it just finally, I think a switch flipped for me where it was like, well, what if you just did it for the sake of doing it, right? What if you treated it more like, you know, a fun art project or something like that, just to create something for the sake of creating it, where the only outcome that I'm judging myself on is, did I do it, rather than how many downloads did it get? Or is it, you know, what rank is it on iTunes or Spotify or whatever for a particular category? It's so tempting maybe I'm just competitive by nature. I don't know, but it's so tempting to check all of that stuff. And I do, but like, I really try not to judge it based on all of that, to just say like, I love talking to other people about certain topics and exploring ideas. And the podcast just gives me like an excuse to do that. And it also gives me, an excuse to talk to people I wouldn't necessarily get to talk to otherwise. Like, again, you and I are having this conversation right now. Either we have each other's contact information, we're in some of the same online communities, like we could have chatted any time, but until there was this sort of pretense for having the conversation, maybe it would have felt awkward. I don't know, maybe not, but like either way, it didn't happen. And now all of a sudden we're having it. And so when I reframed the, like the idea of having a podcast in my mind from, you know, it's this business thing that has to be successful based on these metrics to, hey, you enjoy talking to people and this gives you an excuse to talk to people.
So thinking about all of those ROIs, you were thinking to add the podcast as another revenue stream for your online business, or you were thinking to use it in the beginning, at least as a lead magnet for your marketing agency?
You know, I think the truth is I couldn't kind of like figure that out, in the sense of a standalone media business is very difficult. Like, I mean, you need a certain amount of audience, I think, especially on something like a podcast, to be able to monetize it with ads in a way that makes sense, right? I mean, you need some number of thousands or millions of downloads before it's going to pay anything like worth your time. So then that goes back to that ROI calculation. Like, wouldn't I be better off if I wanted to work an extra 10 hours a week, wouldn't I be better off just freelancing? Like, how many thousands of downloads would I need? Or as you said, the other option is as like a lead magnet, but I don't think I had a service that I wanted to sell on the back end of a podcast that would be about the topics I wanted to talk about, right? Whereas like I have this marketing services and this, I mean, being a bit vulnerable, I think this is something that I've struggled with for years, where it's like, I've got these things that I'm interested in and these things that I feel knowledgeable about, and then a bunch of stuff over here that I've been doing for 20 years as a career. And probably the right answer is just to like zoom in very narrowly on one of those things and just become best in the world at that, and be okay saying like, hey, I could also do this thing, but I'm just choosing not to. And instead, my tendency is to always try to like draw a bigger circle around all of the stuff and find some way to say like, yeah, all of this ties together. And I even have like blog posts where I literally like draw that diagram where I'm like, yeah, here's how all this stuff fits together. And I'm like very clearly forcing it. And I think that's why, yeah, like things like a podcast or something like that, it was a difficult decision for a long time because I couldn't see how it all fits together.
What you say actually resonates so much with me, because I also have a lot of things that I'm interested in, and some things I'm writing about some things I have a lot of knowledge, and I constantly feel that I have this need to kind of connect everything together and sort of make it make sense and add layers upon layers of how to connect all of these different projects together in one big cohesive picture, when sometimes you just maybe don't need to do that at all, especially if it's a passion project of yours. It kind of commodifies a lot of things, in my opinion.
For sure. Thinking of a podcast in marketing terms, though, I would say ideally, so the challenge of a podcast is that there isn't really any sort of like built-in discovery, right? You can record a great episode and you can talk to someone for an hour or 2 hours or whatever it is and have this like wonderful, beautiful, intimate conversation where you share a ton of knowledge and insight. But unless someone's already subscribing to your RSS feed, or, you know, they're on your email newsletter and you send it to them, it's basically like zero chance people are going to find it. I do share podcasts with friends. I mean, there's some amount of that sort of like, you know, recommendation stuff going on, but it's not the same as something like TikTok or YouTube or somewhere where there's like an algorithm that's like very actively promoting new content to new audience members. So if you're thinking of like, where does a podcast potentially fit in a marketing funnel? I think you have to have some discovery on top, some way of people finding you first. That could be like something like the shorts on YouTube or something like TikTok or something more conventional, where people are sort of establishing a relationship and being like, oh yeah, I've heard of this person. And then sending them to your podcast. And then the podcast is great as a way to sort of like build intimacy, right? You go from being this person in like a, you know, 10 second Facebook ad or Instagram ad or whatever, where like, you know, they just basically hear or see a headline, to they've got your voice in their ear for hours at a time. And that builds, I think, yeah, a lot of intimacy and trust.
And so the day has come, you decided to start your podcast. And what I'm very interested in, what was the train of thought? Like you opened the Google and you typed in like, what is the best podcasting tech stack? Or how do or where do I host my podcast? Like what was the process?
You know, it's really funny actually. Now that I'm like, I totally skipped an important part of the story, and just you asking that kind of brought it all back. So two things happened. One was that a friend of mine asked me to co-host a podcast with him. And I don't even remember what the genesis of the idea was. Like how did we start talking about it together that we were going to co-host a podcast? But we went as far as like recording a few test episodes. Like we had a logo for the show made up. I think we probably, you know, got domain names and social media handles. And this was all kind of like early in the pandemic. I had been writing about where I saw the pandemic going, not from like a medical perspective, but like on a business side. Like I've been working remotely for years. And so I've already seen this kind of like trend, which I mean, now this is all like, you know, super obvious in hindsight, but I'd sort of seen a trend of like remote work and where it was going and all of that. And I was kind of writing for people who weren't exposed to that, like, you know, what this looks like and how work evolves in this sense. And so I think on the back of that, and then he and I had spoken at conferences together before and had some good chemistry and we're longtime friends. It was like, oh yeah, well, like, why don't we make like a business oriented podcast about all of this stuff? And so that was the thing. And we started working on it. And it was actually, now that I think about it, it was like the trigger where for me, I'd sort of had this idea of like, I listened to all these podcasts for years and I'm like, why don't I try my hand at it? And then he was the one sort of like pushing the action along to start that kind of business oriented show. And on the one hand, I'm like, yeah, that's cool. I want to do that with you. I was kicking myself inside and being like, I'm finally going to start a podcast after, you know, it being like an obvious decision for me for so long, except it's not the one that I want to start. Like I'm happy that he invited me and I was happy to record episodes with him, but like, this wasn't my passion project or whatever that I had really thought about. And so I kind of made like a deal with myself. I'm like, if I say yes to doing this, I really got to do my own show also. And I figured I kind of like rationalized it to myself too. I'm like, hey, you're already going to need to set up like a microphone and stuff and like whatever. So, you know, that's like, you've already, it's like, there's a sunk cost of like, you're doing one show, you might as well do two. So as it turns out, he got super busy with work. We never quite like figured out exactly what the format was and whatever for that other show, but it was like the event that like pushed me. And it was like, if you're going to do one, you got to do your own one too. And that one never ended up going anywhere, but I kept recording mine. So that was what kicked it off. And sorry to answer your actual question. Seth Godin has a course, it's his podcasting course. So I took that and it was like, None of the pieces of putting it together, from like recording the shows to emailing guests to editing the episodes, are like particularly technical or difficult. Like you can probably figure it out. Anyone listening to this, like you could watch a couple of YouTube videos and figure it out. But the advantage of the course was that it was just sort of like bite-sized enough, and it turned starting my own show and like inviting guests and like actually publishing it and putting it on iTunes and doing all of that stuff, all of which are like individual easy steps, but like together are this giant, scary, like, you know, launch a podcast thing that sounds big and intimidating and difficult. And the course just took all of that and turned it into something that was like, okay, this week we're inviting our first guest. Okay, this week we're recording our first episode. Okay, this week we're editing our first episode. So it was like, it was just sort of paced enough. And I was doing it in a cohort with a bunch of other people, and we could share our first episodes with each other in like a very safe environment. You could get feedback from people, which wasn't just like zero downloads, you know, which is like soul crushing. So yeah, cohort-based courses are magical, and that's what helped me finally do it.
I think this is an amazing advice, actually, because maybe you're not sure if you want to invest all your time and energy into a podcast. Becoming a co-host can be a great way to understand what you like, what you don't like, what kind of style of podcasting you will be used to. And I have been a co-host for a podcast called Community Show for, I want to say, 6 to 7 months. And it helped me tremendously. I learned what I like, what I don't like, what kind of topics I like to talk about. And it can be just a great way to understand if this medium is a good fit for you.
Yeah, try to co-host with someone. I think being a guest on other people's shows, if that's an option, I mean, it is an option. Like, for whatever the topic is, there's some fledgling podcast out there and someone who's like desperate for more guests. So even just that, getting comfortable, just, you know, talking in this type of a format and then hearing yourself recorded. I know for a lot of people that alone is the stumbling block. Even for me now, like sitting here today as the guest, it's great. I'm like, I'm not worried. Did I forget to hit record or not? Like, if all the technology like crashes and burns, you know, I'm not profusely apologizing and being like, so sorry for wasting your time. Can we please reschedule? So yeah, it's less stressful sitting on this end, funny enough.
I think most podcasters will agree that editing is one of the most challenging parts of podcasting. No matter how good of an equipment you have, it's still the hardest part to go through.
Well, one of the things that struck me that's so obvious in hindsight too is that listening to a lot of podcasts, I hear the host ask a question and then the guest give like a very thoughtful, interesting answer. And then the host, the bad hosts, if I can say that, just then ask some completely non sequitur question. They don't sort of take advantage of whatever like juicy wisdom was dropped. They're just like, okay, next question on the list. So that's obviously not good. But I'm sometimes surprised too that like they don't just even have a reaction that's like, wow, yeah, that's, I can't believe that happened to you, whatever. And then I realized after editing my own that like that stuff just doesn't make for interesting audio, and probably it is happening in the conversation and they're just editing it out. I'm like, how inhuman are these people that they told you this story and your reaction was like just to go to the next question and whatever. And then then I realized like, no, you idiot, that stuff is being edited out.
I have experience with this also, because for my previous podcast, I basically always had this extensive list of questions, an idea of like how I want to narrate the episode and what story I wanted to tell. But at the same time, sometimes the guest will have an amazing answer where I want to go even deeper. And when you have those list of questions and that like 1 hour slot that you manage to book, it's very hard to prioritize. Okay, should I go with my list or should I just expand on this? And that's why now I basically don't have a list anymore. I just try to go with the flow. I still have an idea of the story I want to tell, but mainly I try to see where the story takes me rather than have a prepared list of questions.
Yeah, I struggle with that. I go both ways in the sense that like, a lot of times this gets into something like much deeper, like psychology or whatever. But I think part of what I see myself as is like some sort of bridge between, you know, like I have this audience over here and, you know, I assume and I hope they're all like super smart and well-informed and interested in the things I'm interested in, but that they don't necessarily know who this person is and what their story is and why they're interesting to listen to and all of that. And so my job is to like surface that information. So I will ask what I think are very leading questions to bring out like the things that I think are interesting about that person. And then hopefully that launches into a whole bunch of good conversation and interesting stories and all of that. But it's like, I could just give some preamble in the introduction and just say, well, you know, this is Tom and he did this. And then 10 years later, he did that and whatever, but that's dry and not really fun to listen to. So I keep those pretty short. And then I just try to have that come out in the conversation. So like there are certain points that I'm trying to get into the conversation, but then I'm also aware of like when I listen to podcasts, the stuff that ends up like when I just have like a big stupid grin on my face as I'm listening, people probably think I'm insane walking around in the park just like is when like the guest is telling some really interesting story of like some crazy experience that they went through in their life or something like that. And I want to create those moments for my listeners to like, you know, let the person tell some interesting story and not interrupt and not try to guide it too much. But then I'm also like looking at the clock, kind of trying not to, but realizing that, you know, like I only have 20 more minutes of their time and we haven't talked about their new book that's coming out and that's super relevant. And that was kind of the reason that they came on the show. So it's tricky as a host to like fit everything in. Ideally you'd have every guest booked for like 3 hours and you would just, you know, use as much of their time as you use and then edit it down.
But also when you try to book someone for your episode, you think, okay, I hope I will not overbook you. Like I will just book you for 45 minutes or 1 hour and hope that something good comes out of this episode.
Exactly. Exactly. If you're Tim Ferriss or Joe Rogan or somebody, you can do that. They'll fly to you. They'll book a week, you know, to be on your show because of what that could do for them. But when you're emailing someone and they're like, who, Neville, what, normal, huh? What is this? Then like asking them for, you know, more than 15 minutes feels like you're imposing. And so, yeah, it's a balance.
I think the appropriate way to end this would be to ask, where do you see yourself in 15 years? Maybe as we discussed in the beginning, you will see yourself in the Scandinavian heaven or somewhere else. What's the future looks like for you?
Oh God, that's a trillion-dollar question. 15 years. It's quite a horizon. No, I think it's fun to answer. I think the only honest answer I can say is I don't know, but I'm excited to find out. Right now, this journey that I'm on, you know, we've been like touching on it from different sides, but really it's been a multi-year process for me to go from, you know, I went from like having a standard corporate office job working in IT to then starting my own company, which was very unfocused and just sort of like, yeah, we do all this IT stuff that I used to do at my job. Now I'll do it as a freelancer or like as a small agency. And then like, I'll try to give you the short version of it, but basically meandering over the years from like very generalized IT work to IT work with an emphasis on marketing to being like fully a marketing agency. And then even from there, moving into like, well, it's the strategy part of the marketing that I really enjoy doing and want to focus on. So it's already changed a lot. But even within that, it was always work for hire, you know, like consulting, somebody having a project and saying, hey, I need you for this thing. And, you know, then turning around and billing them for hours or occasionally a fixed price, but often, some kind of hourly project. And realizing that, like, I'm only making money when I'm billing my hours. You constantly have to go and like sell more. You can be the best in the world and you can have a really high hourly rate, but your income is still like tied to the number of hours that you work and how much you can charge for that. And all of these kind of classic dilemmas that are very in vogue to talk about right now. And so over the last few years, I realized like, yeah, that's not the kind of lifestyle that I want for myself. It was just sort of like the obvious option. I talk a lot about from like a lifestyle perspective, getting off the default path and realizing that you have more options than you think you do. And I think for myself in business, I couldn't see past that for a long time. It's just like, well, this is how you charge for these kinds of services. And what's changed over the years is just sort of my own limiting beliefs and realizing that like, hey, there are other options for how to bill and creating a business that you love doing and charging for it in a way that's feels good to me, but also that like, hey, if the only way to work in a certain industry is a way that you don't like working, do something different. Like that's an option too. And so all of this is a roundabout way of answering your question and saying, I think these last couple of years have very much been like an exploratory phase for me where like, yeah, I already made that leap. I already left my job. I already started my own company, a bunch of companies, and had a bunch of different ventures. And I'm proud of a lot of the things I have accomplished, but I still feel like this is like, you know, day one, like I'm still trying to figure it out. And so I hope that wherever I am 15 years from now actually doesn't look anything like where I am right now, and that what I'm doing right now is going to lead to some new, wonderful, different, unexpected, fun adventure.